Thank you, Ms. Burt. Take your Bibles this morning and go to Psalms 116. What a blessing, and I feel like the message in song will go right along with the message today. If you realize the song itself, if you at face value, you would have said the song was about grace. But it was a song of thankfulness, of thanksgiving for grace. You know, the word grace itself means goodwill. And God, when God bestows grace upon us, He has goodwill toward us. You know, so many people in the world today don't believe or see God that way. Wednesday night, if you were here for the message, you realize that most people, they look at God one of two ways. They see Him as a God of goodwill and has shed His love toward us.
Amen.
Abroad, or they see Him as a wrathful God who is hard and so far off and cannot be touched, but He is a good God with a good will. In that same book of Romans that we'll study, it not only says His will is good, but it says His will is acceptable. And once we get accepting God's will, we'll find out that God's will is always perfect for us. And somewhere along the line there, we ought to be thankful. Thankful for that, amen. In Psalms 116, I want you to, for the tape room, the title today is Sacrifice of Thanksgiving. The Sacrifice of Thanksgiving. I'm going to get some water. That might get us 20 minutes of preaching. Psalms 116 here. I want to read the entire chapter, but for time this morning, let me encourage you to read the first half of the chapter, because I'm going to preach on the back half, and everything that came before builds into what we're going to be spending our time on this morning. But realize, when we talk about goodwill, the writer of this passage of Scripture is not penned down for us. We really don't have a definite on who it was that wrote this psalm, but it says there, He loved the Lord. I love the Lord, in verse 1. Amen. So someone under the inspiration of God pens down a love letter. He pens down some things. And in the beginning of the chapter is all about His affection. Look at verse number 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. It sure sounds like this guy knew who God was and allowed God to pen down some thankfulness. You see so much thankfulness in the beginning of the chapter. But for the Christian that's here today, I want you to understand, when he gets to the back half of the book, God's love, graciousness, and mercifulness should get us to go to some I wills in the Scripture. By the time he makes it to the second half of this chapter, he begins to say, I will, I will, I will. And folks, even at the beginning of our salvation, for those of you that maybe are not a Christian or have walked in the doors and you know, I'm just starting out in church, maybe that's where you are, you ought to realize that I will is where it begins. I will believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, too many times we you say, well, that sure sounds like works to me. All the works have been done. This is just simply trusting in what He's already done. So today, before we really launch out, I just want to say, folks, today, my desire, every one of the points today are going to just be simplicity. If you want to know the message, the sacrifice of Thanksgiving, we are just unthankful as a people, as a group. Israel was God's chosen people, raised up out of nothing where there could be no seed, but God made a way and brought a seed so that He could bring the seed of His Son, the Lord Jesus, through that nation and show it as a miracle nation. And if anybody should have been thankful, Israel should have been thankful. But they weren't. If any nation on planet Earth should be thankful, it should be America. I mean, as clearly as where there was no nation, it could be no nation, there was a nation risen up by God in this place, clearly. People in a place where it would have been hard for people to exist and make it through. God, even Thanksgiving itself, is a group of people who separated from tyranny where they could not worship God freely and came to a land where they could. And then at Thanksgiving, where what we actually celebrate. Now, I understand the schools don't teach your kids this anymore. Our school does. Maybe you should get them there. Maybe the college they go doesn't teach them that, but ours does. All right. Now, I'm done advertising. I just want to say this morning that as a people, we have so much to be thankful for. And oftentimes we get dragged down, and it's not that hard, but it is a sacrifice. And I want to show you that today. Do you know who you have to sacrifice? I'm going to give you the whole message, then I'm going to preach it. This is a bad way to give it. The conclusion first, then we'll go through the message. Amen. No suspense whatsoever. The person you got to sacrifice is self to be thankful. And we're not good at that. Amen? And we find it hard to be thankful, but it's so simple, and we'll see the simplicity of it today. It's just, we got to get self out of the way. Amen? Let's pray together this morning. Dear Lord, we come to you. Lord, I present myself again as your servant, God, your messenger boy. I pray, God, that you'd take this powerful section of scripture, the psalmist that you use, Lord, that didn't even pen down his name, but God, he knew who you were and he loved you. He knew you were gracious and merciful. God, I know that today. And let me, Lord, if you would, just use me, use my lips, use my voice. Holy Spirit of God, lift up the unsearchable riches of Christ from the passage of scripture today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin with you, if you would, and as I said, there's so much, and he begins, if I could, and he already has begun the I wills, but for time's sake, I will not do all of the I wills of the chapter, but I pray that you will say, I will go back and read this for you, preacher, later on, amen? In verse number 11, he says, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Do you know why he said that? Because they are. Amen. I want you to just back up. He says in verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Do you know many of us have to make a choice? You're going to walk before yourself, before kings. You see the self here? The selflessness begins with, while I'm living in this body, I will walk before the Lord. That's where he begins here when he begins the I wills. I believe, therefore, have I spoken, I was greatly afflicted. Folks, the reason I entitled it the sacrifice of Thanksgiving is because this year alone, between the 2 years that I've been the pastor of this church, we've lost so many good people that were servants, choice servants of God, people that love the Lord, and they've gone on before us. And as honestly as I can say it, for someone who lost his grandfather this past year, I am somebody who, when I think of them, there's not a lot of joy. If I realize all the things, I can joy in where he is. But with the psalmist, I can say I was greatly afflicted when I lost that person. I don't know what he experienced as loss. I don't understand where he was. But across this, it doesn't mean that it had to be somebody close to you, but it could have been something. It could have been something that affliction has come into your life. And we watch this person who loves God at the beginning of the chapter find himself in the middle and he's afflicted. We live in a world that is full of sin, full of brokenness. Every week we pray over a prayer list for people whose bodies are wrecked by cancer, whose lives are being destroyed by sin, all the way back from Adam, all the way down to where we are today. We can do, folks, we can live right and we can eat right and we can do right, and still sin has passed upon all this world and it groans and aches with pain. It's afflicted and has lost. Everyone in the building today at some point or at some place or some level has been afflicted by something or someone. And all of that can be traced back to sin. The problem is sometimes we put it on God, don't we? And the reason we'll want to hold our affliction to ourselves and we don't want to let God, even the song today about grace. The psalmist said in verse 11, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Why? Because they are. I don't feel like I can trust anybody. Well, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 12 says, what shall I render unto the Lord? You see, this person makes all these things. I have realized that man is not worthy of my praise. Because every one of them is a liar. And so the psalmist begins to turn his attention to the Lord. He begins the second half after he tells you who he loves. And really for all of us, I hope, is our first love. I love the Lord. He says in verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Think about the simplicity. Look at verse 6. The Lord preserveth the simple, and I was brought low, and he helped me. You know, we were talking about wisdom the other day. Somebody said something about being wise and wisdom. And folks, wisdom is dealt out by an almighty God. Discernment, wisdom and discernment is ready and waiting for you if you will just call on God and ask him for it in every situation. And if I could apply it here, in every affliction a man or woman could suffer in this life, God has wisdom and is willing to dole it out. And this simple man understands he realizes all men are liars. Who do I turn to? Who do I give praise? Well, I started out with loving God. Maybe I ought to continue in that. He begins the sacrifice of thanksgiving with, what shall I render unto the Lord, in verse 12, for all his benefits towards me? Do you know too many times we don't tally the benefits? We have a song, Count Your Blessings. Really, have you ever counted them? It does us good. You know, Thanksgiving is a time where we are of remembrance. The Lord knew we were prone to forget and to wander, so he gave us one of these Lord's Supper times that we should do as oft as we need it, really, right? To come together and to remember his body and his blood, because we're prone to forget. We'll get unthankful because we'll forget the body that was pierced for us. We'll forget the blood, the perfect blood that was shed to blot out our sins. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Folks, even when we're afflicted, we can't see the goodness of God around us. We only stare at the affliction. We only stare at the problem that we face, not the graciousness of a good God who still is gracious. Who for me, I you say, well, I wasn't as close to my grandfather. Well, I was pretty close to him. But you know, he lived in a state far away. But every time I would reach out and try to contact, after many of you know, he went through that fire. And then he fell. And then he just progressively went down where he could not gain strength and he couldn't be the man that he wanted to be. And you know, if I wasn't careful, my will would be to keep him here. But God is still gracious, even when I'm selfish. When my will would be to keep him here, God's will is to allow him the preciousness. Look at verse 15 as we skip ahead. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Something that causes separation and brokenness in my life relieves the affliction of others and takes them home to be with their Lord. And oftentimes we continue to be afflicted when God has been gracious and taken our loved one home. We hold on to it rather than to render unto the Lord all his benefits towards me. Look what he says in verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Boy, that sure sounds like salvation to me. It sounds like simple salvation. Do you know a cup is something that holds things? There's no power in the cup. It's just something that holds it, right? Sometimes we forget that Jesus came and was wrapped in flesh just like we are. Do you know the power was inside that cup? See, because his flesh is a wonderful picture of the resurrection of what we can have, but it was the blood that was in that cup that had to be shed. The value that so many people pour out and forget all about, the John MacArthurs of this world that try to explain that it was his suffering. Folks, he suffered. He laid down his life, but it was the blood, the Bible says, that covered my sins. We're Big B Baptists in this place because we still believe that the cup that the Lord came and wrapped himself in held the blood of Almighty God, the second Adam. You see, I'm wrapped in flesh, but you know the thing that I got from Adam? I didn't get my flesh from him. You check my DNA against him, and the only thing that's going to match up is my blood. You're going to be able to tell what species I came from my blood, because the rest of this is dust. You say, preacher, it doesn't sound that simple. What sounds pretty simple? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. All the way back in the midst of the Old Testament, in the midst of their singing, God let his people sing about a New Testament salvation. But it was still in the Old Testament, wasn't it? It was the same Jesus that was coming. It was the same name, Jesus Christ. Christ is Messiah. It's just clearly saying who he was. You go into the Spanish world and you better not just say Jesus. You better finish with Christo. So they know who you're talking about. Otherwise, everybody's going to say, who? You call me? Amen? The difference that we see in the scripture is the simplicity of salvation. That Jesus came, that Jesus died, that he rose again, and that he is seated on the right hand of the throne of grace. The first fruits of the resurrection has already risen up from the grave. Up from the grave he arose. It's so simple to call upon his name. In the New Testament, we look back at what he's done. But in the Old Testament, they were looking forward and saying, I will call upon the name of the Lord. You know who did that? Abraham. He believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. You know who else did that in the Old Testament? He was Jesus' friend. His name is Lazarus. Now, many of you may not, you say, well, you can't place it the same. Well, the only Lazarus that Jesus ever spoke about was the Lazarus that was his friend. So you can try to convince me that the one that was in Abraham's bosom isn't Lazarus, but when Jesus was talking about him, and you measure it up, friend, in chronological order, Lazarus was dead during that time period. And the guys that the disciples that Jesus was explaining to that knew who Lazarus was, it was Lazarus that they were going to see. And it wasn't a story about a place that doesn't exist. It was a God who was walking robed in mortal flesh saying, right now in the heart of the earth, in Abraham's bosom, which identified exactly what the Jew knew, where the saints of God were held who believed in Jesus Christ. He said, Lazarus, I saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and a rich man afar off. Is it really that much of a stretch to think that Lazarus wasn't that Lazarus? Well, he was a beggar. Well, Mary was a woman of the night. Was it really that far a stretch to think that that was him? You know what Lazarus had done? He believed on the name of the Lord before he ever went to the cross. Now, he had a different resurrection, didn't he? Amen. Lazarus, come forth. I challenge you to read that. I just heard it preached on Friday night. The only person that listened to God was the dead man. You know, typically the people who are the most thankful are the people who are dead to self. And they say, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? Because we get so caught up in who we are and what we're going through and what's going on that we forget to look up at God who saved us from hell, who gave us such a wonderful life in the time that we have lived. And even in the midst of our affliction, who is going to get us out of it? The one that we can call upon his name. Salvation doesn't stop the time that you can call upon his name. It means I got introduced to the Savior of my life, and now I can call upon him and call upon him and call upon him. Salvation is so simple, folks. Look on, he says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord. Now in the presence of all his people, I not only see the simplicity of salvation, but I see the simplicity of surrender. We get saved and we surrender. Oh, God's will is for me to get baptized into his local church. Let me surrender to that. You mean I got to get in the tank? And I have to get in. Yeah, it's nice and warm too, boy. Ooh. I watched the last one get in and they dipped a toe and they were like waiting for the cold to shiver up. And they were like, oh, that's warm. I was like, yeah. Hey, folks, the baptismal tank, you know, that's just the first opportunity for us to surrender to God's commands in our life. We called upon his name and now he says, this is what I'd like for you to do. The simplicity of surrender. I want you to picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What an opportunity it is as a brand new Christian. Before I don't even know how to witness, God has made a way for me to be a witness of him. For me to just get baptized by his obedience. And everyone that watches realizes something has happened in my life. I'm identifying with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And again, baptism is a picture of leaving the old man under the water and living unto Jesus Christ. What a picture it is. I'll pay my vows. Do you know how we do it? Why is it that we don't dismiss everybody after we accept them? You know, I've been in places and you say, well, are you against that? Listen, I am not their pastor. But I love the picture when the body stays and watches the picture. He says, I will pay my vows in the presence of all his people. Now, this isn't all his people, but this is all this people right here in this local location. Look on with me. He says, precious, look at this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You say, preacher, what can you see in that? I see the simplicity of separation. Do you know that if my wife or my children or anyone in my family were to pass, the only person I would trust to take care of them more than me is the Lord? How can I have rest in my affliction? And how can I have peace to know that that person has passed from death unto life? That I don't have to sorrow as others that have no hope. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And that person has left me and gone on to a heavenly home. They're not afflicted anymore. They're not in struggles anymore. They're just in heavenly bliss waiting for me. And so I'll give the sacrifice of thanksgiving to the one who my death will be precious in his sight as well. You say, preacher, do you want to hasten to that? Oh, no, because I want to start out in verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I'll be his testimony. What testimony now can I show, preacher? I've lost this loved one. I'm hurting and I'm afflicted. Folks, everyone on planet Earth is afflicted. Everyone, even lost people, are broken and hurting and have lost people. But you have hope other people don't have. And how we walk through this life before the Lord sends a great message to the unbeliever. When we sorrow as others who have no hope, that doesn't picture for them that we're a believer, that we have hope. When our speech, everything I say and do from the book of Colossians, right? In word or in deed. Man, when we speak about our loved ones that have passed, when we speak about them and say, but I'll see them again. What a powerful witness that is to the world. Some that maybe never will sit and listen to you talk about the gospel and go through the whole gospel of Jesus Christ, they may want to know why your loved one you'll see again. Why are you going to see him again? How can you ever see him again? Let me tell you, it's simple, right? You say, preacher, I don't know. How about the simplicity of this? He says this, and he says, oh Lord, after you see surrender and you see the simplicity of separation, you know, even for us, we have to realize that the Lord Jesus, the one that we love, is seated at the right hand. He's not with his church today, but he left us his words. He sent us a comforter to live inside of us. He gave us so much power. And you say, well, preacher, what am I supposed to do with that? That separation we all feel, but how do we feel this? How about simplicity of a service? In my life, when I have progressed to surrender myself to the Lord, I'm not going to be happy unless I'm serving. Some of the things that we miss, folks, I'm not trying to be hurtful. I'm just trying to be helpful this morning. Do you know when you're with your loved one and you lose them, one of the first things you miss is the service that you did for them. You miss the time. The time that you spent together serving together. But God didn't leave us alone. Oh Lord, truly, I am thy servant. He doesn't just stop there. He repeats it. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Even in his statements of being a servant to God, he says, God, I'm your servant, but you've turned me loose. You cut loose my shackles of sin and shame and have given me a brand new life. You've given me a brand new song. You've given me a brand new service to serve you in. God, help me to love you. The thanksgiving. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? I ought to give the sacrifice of thanksgiving. He goes on, he says, I will offer to thee, in verse 17, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. You say, well, preacher, what he repeats, don't forget that this is a song. Songs are repetitive. You know what the Christian life is? Repetitive. Thanksgiving comes around every year. It's hurtful when you're afflicted, isn't it? When you've had somebody you lost, Thanksgiving comes and it isn't the same without them. Christmas comes and it isn't the same without them. Let me encourage you to give God the sacrifice of thanksgiving this Thanksgiving. In the midst of your own affliction, just simply call upon the Lord for help and strength. He's good enough. His grace and his mercies are enough. They're enough for you. His grace is, if it was sufficient enough for Paul, it's sufficient for you. In the midst of your affliction. You say, how do I deal with this, preacher? How do I deal with it? I see again. He says, I'll call upon your name. When the hard times come and it's hard to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving, call out unto the Lord and say, God, I want to thank you. Help me thank you. God, help me be thankful. I'm in the midst of this affliction and I'm having trouble being thankful. Help me to put self aside and to give thanks. You say, preacher, what am I supposed to do next? I can't get baptized again. That's what you said about surrender, but you can surrender to the next level. You know, the whole Christian life is about surrendering to what God puts in front of us. Every time that we will set aside self and turn back to God, there will be a brand new surrendering there for us. And there'll be grace and mercy for that next stage of our lives. And we won't understand, God, how can I do this? And he'll just, again, look, now in the presence of all his people. You know, during the beginning of our missions conference, a whole week-long conference, we had people walk down and say, God's called me to be a missionary. God spoke to my heart to do this and to do that. And I can tell you the blessing of walking to the altar and making a decision is because it alters our life. At least it should. Amen. It will alter your life when you pay the vows that you made to God at the altar. Amen. And when you make a surrender to God and say, God, I'll serve you. I'll serve you in this area. God, I'll give this. God, I'll do that for you. Thank you for being good to me. What shall I render for all of his benefits? Let me ask you this today. I know you surrendered. You saved, baptized into the local church. Maybe you've had the affliction of being separated. What do I do next, preacher? Call upon the Lord again and surrender to his will. Whatever the next step is for your life. Say, how am I going to get back to Thanksgiving? To surrender again. You know, Thanksgiving in the scripture is directly connected to the peace offering. It is supposed to be offered with thanksgiving. From the book of Leviticus, and that peace offering that's made before God is so many different things. I mean, it can be several different things in the scripture, but not to turn there and to show you today, but when they make that offering, do you know we please God? What God is pleased with is not bullocks and oxes in our day. All those things were just pictures of man calling upon the Lord in a New Testament age and sacrificing self. Because it was a sacrifice for the farmer to kill the best one in the herd. To kill the one that was spotless, that could have been bred, that could have been reproduced over and over again. Instead of that, they took it and sacrificed it unto the Lord. And you say, well, I'm trying to do my best in the midst of my affliction, preacher. Do this. Call upon God and ask him to help you give your best. You know, I've been serving God long enough that I'd really never quit serving him at any time of my life. But there were times when I didn't sacrifice my best. And I was at my happiest, and I had the most peace as a Christian when I offered God everything. He was first. When I loved him paramount, and I put self and everybody else second. And what I found was I was blessed. My family looked brighter than it ever did before. The sunrise shone brighter than it ever did before. The birds sang sweeter than they ever did before. When everything that I was rendering thanksgiving to an almighty God. This Thanksgiving, will you let Thanksgiving pass and let it be about a turkey again? And I know for every one of us, you say, preacher, it's about family. It is. I was born again into the family of God. And it was only because God sent his only begotten son. And at Thanksgiving for me and my family, I realized that somebody had to leave the table in heaven for a turkey like me so that I could be born again into God's family. Folks, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, realize that God sent heaven's best to die for the worst of the earth and to redeem it back into himself. And when we realize that has been paid and we accept it, we call upon the Lord, we see simple salvation. And surrender is not out of reach. It's so easy. It's simple surrendering to God. And as we continue on, because the world is still sinful, separation will still happen. And so I have to realize and reckon what God does in separation, that precious in the precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes it's not always as precious to me as it is to him. But when I render to God thankfulness, I realize how precious people going home to heaven really is. Because I know how much I'm looking forward to being with him. But until then, I will walk before God in the land of the living through surrender, through thankfulness. Say, preacher, how is it that I sacrifice thanksgiving? We are not a thankful people, but we can be when we set aside self and sacrifice ourselves for Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, it's so simple. Is it really that simple? It really is that simple. It's not easy. See, we think simple is easy. The Christian life is simple, but it's not easy. It's hard to surrender yourself over and over again with the sliced bruises and brokenness. But it doesn't mean that it's not right. So as for me and my house, this Thanksgiving we'll continue to serve the Lord. And maybe, who knows, this might be the last one before he comes and gets us. Amen. That would be precious in my sight as well. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're inside the building and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the invitation is to you. We invite you to come while heads are bowed and eyes are closed to make your way to the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. If you're a believer today, in the midst of affliction, and maybe you need to surrender, maybe somebody in here needs to pay the vows in front of all the people, you need to be baptized, or maybe you've made another vow to God that you need to meet today. Do whatever God spoke to your heart about. Surrender to those things. Just simply believe God and do it, whatever he's asked you to do. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray quickly, but if God spoke to your heart, you come. Dear God, I thank you for your many blessings again today. Help us, Lord, to do what you've asked us to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. It's so simple. If you'll just walk down and call upon the name of the Lord, we'll show you how, and we'll take you through the scripture and all that Jesus has done for you and how you can call upon his name. If you'll do that today, you can know for sure you have a home in heaven. As Brother Bert sings, why don't you step out and come this morning?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am. Blind, sight rich is healing of the mind, yea, all.
Maybe you're here this morning, you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. The tank is ready. The water is warm. All we need is for you to step out and surrender. And say, "Preacher, would this church accept me?" If you've called upon the name of the Lord, you'd be welcome in His house and amongst His people. If you'll step out and come, boy, we'd love to have you. If you're willing to surrender to picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ through baptism, we'd love to have you. Maybe you've been putting it off and thinking, "I'll go down on a more convenient Sunday." It has come. This is the convenient one. This is the one that a sacrifice of thanksgiving would be appropriate for you to make before the Lord. As Brother Bert sings, we'll give you opportunity to come.
"Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome pardon, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come."
Would you bow your heads and in an attitude of prayer, just pray that God's working. Folks are being dealt with. I appreciate you being patient as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We meet together in a place like this so people can be saved, that the church can be edified. This morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, it is not too late for you to step out and come down the aisle. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. You say, "Preacher, the invitation is too long." Sometimes it's not long enough for people to have a chance to surrender to God's will and call upon His name. Folks, would you pray that God would work in the hearts, the Holy Spirit would draw today. If there's one more that needs to be saved, if you're here and you need to be saved, don't tarry. Step out and come, as Brother Bert sings.
"Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come."
Amen. We're going to let you be seated. We have something to share with you this morning.